took bribes, sought out illegal campaign contributions, and accepted free flights, dinners at high-end restaurants, and upgrades at luxury hotels from wealthy foreign nationals. The indictment comes amid at least three other ongoing and separate federal investigations linked to people in Adams' administration, leading to a slew of resignations in recent weeks. But Adams says he's staying on. In New York, CB Cotton, Fox News.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address the United Nations General Assembly today, even as Israeli troops are...
Breaking news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And good morning, 804 News Radio 92.3. And cutting out of Fox News a few minutes early, Governor Ron DeSantis is giving a briefing in Tallahassee this morning.
Good morning. We're back at the State Emergency Operations Center here in Tallahassee. I'm joined with Kevin Guthrie, our Florida DEM Executive Director, as well as Jared Perdue, our Florida Department of Transportation Secretary, and Major General John Haas, the Adjutant General of the Florida National Guard. As you know, Hurricane Helene made landfall last night as a Category 4 hurricane at Deckel Beach in Taylor County. Maximum sustained winds were 140 miles per hour. It made landfall, moving 23 miles per hour. We saw storm surges in many parts of the west coast of Florida that exceeded what we saw in Hurricane Idalia, which took a similar track. It was similar strength, maybe a little bit weaker, but you are seeing significantly more storm surge in places like Tampa Bay. We also saw major storm surge, of course, in the Big Bend region. We did report that there was a traffic fatality last night. We also this morning can report that there's been another fatality reported in Dixie County due to a tree falling on the home during the storm. Overnight, as soon as the storm, as soon as it was safe to do, and even in many cases probably wasn't perfectly safe to do, search and rescue operations were conducted to help people that were in distress and transport them to safety. These missions continue, but we've had thousands of missions successfully completed in the overnight hours throughout the state. This is our local first responders. This is local in conjunction with state assets and state assets directly going in and effectuating rescues. And that's the National Guard, that's Florida Fish and Wildlife, that's all the assets we had available to help support these rescue efforts. And all the calls that any state officials responded to last night, we were able to find the person or people or and pets and bring them to safety. And so that's a contrast from some of the things that we saw, for example, at Hurricane Ian. Now it's still early. They're going to have those folks who were responding to those calls. They're going to be doing broader search and rescue in those areas that did get hit with significant storm surge and see if there's any other problems or if there's any folks that are still left behind. But as of now, we don't have reports of that. And so those missions were successful, and those missions saved a lot of lives. So I want to thank all the first responders, our folks working for the sheriff's departments, fire rescue, of course, all our state assets. Everyone was ready to go. I mean, it made a big difference for what was a really historic storm surge in different parts of the state. We have currently, as of 6 a.m., 1.24 million accounts without power throughout the state of Florida. Since the storm has begun, there have been 1.16 million accounts that have already been restored. As of 6 a.m., we have 382,000 accounts for Duke, 284,000 for the co-ops, 253,000 for the munis, 233,000 for FPL, 77,000 for TECO, and 11,000 for FPU. So those restoration efforts are underway. They've been really been going on the entire time as people have lost power. And so I think you're going to see some progress on that throughout today. As of now, we have a number of severely impacted counties with over 30% of the power out. Alachua, 55% out, Baker, 86%, Bradford 65% out, Citrus 34% out, Clay 33% out, Columbia 99% out, Dixie 92%, Gilchrist 87%, Hamilton 99%, Jefferson 83%, Lafayette 81%, Leon 44%, Levy 83%, Liberty 33%, Madison 99%, Nassau 57%, Pinellas 41%, Polk 33%, Suwannee 99%, Taylor 99%, Union 86%, Wakulla 82%. And you notice those 99% counties are generally the counties that were in the immediate path of the storm. We had rescue operations going on like Southwest Florida, where the storm was 100, 150, 200 miles off the coast, and yet still generated major storm surge. And that was really the story up the whole Florida peninsula. But then as you got into landfall, where you had those Category 4 winds, there's no question that that was going to disrupt the power operations. And so that's what you've seen. Probably not just simply power lines down in the immediate path of the storm, probably looking at some damage to substations. And so there's folks that are on the ground assessing and taking action to remedy that as soon as possible. Overnight, the cut and toss operations began at 3 a.m. with the Florida Department of Transportation. And they have been able to clear a lot of miles of roadway, over 2,000 miles just since the wee hours of the morning. I-10 is open and passable, but please drive with caution. I-75 north to Georgia is clear and passable, and FDOT cut and toss crews are pushing southward on I-75 currently. In Tampa Bay, the Sunshine Skyway, Gandy, Courtney Campbell, and Howard Franklin bridges are still closed at the moment. At first light, bridge inspections began. There are reports of some mapping applications not marking those bridges as closed, but as of right now, please choose alternative routes. Those bridges are going to be inspected and open in due time, and I know Jared and his team are working really hard to do that. The Sunshine Skyway is open to first responders and emergency personnel. Please listen to local law enforcement's directive on that. In Southwest Florida, Sanibel Causeway had a washout that's currently being repaired by FDOT, and we expect that to be okay relatively soon. 470 crews are active in the field, and as I mentioned, have cleared over 2,000 miles of roadway, and this was starting at 3 a.m. So they were ready to go, and it's made a difference. 129 bridge inspectors have been dispatched at First Light, and they are currently inspecting the bridges in the impacted areas. Airports. Following airports have suspended service but are anticipated to resume operations at some point today. Tallahassee, Tampa International, St. Pete Clearwater International, Lakeland Linder International, Gainesville Regional. Some flight cancellations or delays are being reported. Just check with your airlines directly on specific flight updates. Florida Fish and Wildlife has boat teams in Dixie and Taylor counties actively conducting search and rescue. These are basically the ground zero of the storm. An additional team of 72 staff are en route to Taylor, Dixie, and Levy with shallow water boats. Florida Fish and Wildlife has a boat team of 15 going through Franklin and Wakulla counties to assess storm damage. From Hernando to Lee, FWC has 145 local officers that are responding, an additional 15-man airboat team that are coming over to the west coast of Florida from Titusville. They will also have a 16-man Florida State Guard team with them, and they are headed currently to Pinellas County to assist with search and rescue there. Florida Department of Law Enforcement has positioned assets, including aircraft, and is responding for reconnaissance and damage assessments, including all backup satellite and communication systems. Portable towers have been staged for emergency communications. An FDLE staged telecommunications emergency response task forces for responses to ensure continuity of service for the 911 system. Of course, we have Florida Highway Patrol that have been assisting local officials throughout the whole time, and they are deployed and working as necessary. They are also assisting with cut and toss operations, clearing down trees and debris from not just the interstate and state roads, but also assisting with clearing local roads. The Department of Environmental Protection is actively working with local water providers to determine impacts to local water systems, and we do have reports that there are some issues with some of the local water systems. As of this morning, there are 54 healthcare facilities on generator power across the state, 5 hospitals, 26 ALFs, and 17 nursing homes. So this morning, as you're surveying damage, if you do have damage, just please be cautious of down power lines in your area. Standing water can conceal down power lines and other hazards. So please do not be walking through those storm waters. Remember to use proper ladder safety. You want to avoid any injuries or deaths as a result of people trying to get on ladders and not doing that appropriately. If you use a generator, again, there's power outages and 1.2 million. You're going to be added to that 1.1 million that's been restored, I think, relatively quickly because everyone's on it. But there's going to be a time where you don't have power, perhaps. If you use a generator, don't operate it inside your house. Make sure that generator is outside your house, away from windows and doors. Carbon monoxide getting into the house can be lethal if it accumulates indoors. If traffic lights are out in your area, remember to treat that as you would a four-way stop. We don't want to see any traffic accidents as a result of that. Some of those signals are out. They will be brought back online, I think, in due time, relatively quickly. But there's going to be a period of time where they may not be operating appropriately. And so treat it as a four-way stop. Remember, be careful using chainsaws. We've had mishaps with chainsaws in the past. I know people.
All right, I think we're going to pull away from the governor now, only because what he's talking about now is stuff that's particularly relevant to people in those areas. And, you know, obviously the key information that he gave, we now have an additional confirmed death, someone who died in Dixie County when a tree fell on their house. We all had the earlier report that someone died in their car when a sign fell on their house. He said that they have fulfilled thousands of missions and so far found everybody and every pet that called for help. Something around on the order of almost 2 million customers without power, up to over 90% in several counties. They've gotten out in the morning, 3 a.m. for cut and toss operations to clear the roads. I-10 is open, but be careful when you get over to the east. He said just drive with caution if you're headed that way. I-75 north of Georgia is clear and passable. Also going south, they're working on it. Tampa Bay, the bridges are still closed. Sanibel, the causeway had a washout, but it looks like he'll be able to repair that. He didn't act like it was a major damage event. The airports of Tallahassee, Tampa, St. Pete, Lakeland, and Gainesville are all closed just for now, but they expect to reopen. They've suspended operations for now and talked about various medical facilities that were all on generators, about 50 of them or so. So very informative update from the governor of Tallahassee. Of course, as we get more information about what happened in this storm yesterday, we will continue to keep you informed. 437-1620, that is my phone number. If you have a company that has employees, you have to deal with benefits, payroll, insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources management, all of that stuff. If it's going great, great. If it's not going so great, well, it can. Call Torgerson Causey. They'll help you out. They'll look at what you're doing and figure out how to help you do it maybe a little bit better, a little bit cheaper, or just give options to your employees, because not every employee wants the same exact thing. That was our issue, is with our former company, you just had one choice, in or out. They gave us several options, which we like, because we can find the plan that works for us. Now, they're not miracle workers. They can't make something happen that doesn't exist, but they will find the best plans that are out there, and they're great at answering questions. Fantastic at it. More than 20 years helping local businesses run their benefits and all the other stuff as a comprehensive employee benefits agency. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. There's no backups to let you know about, except on I-10 eastbound. It is backed up from 9 Mile exit all the way through Pine Forest, through the Highway 29 construction zone, and a little past that also. So that's about a 20-25 minute delay if you have to take I-10 that way. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499 with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months are the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sell price before tax, title, and income fees. See dealer for details.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Parrish packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax, fees, or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance in this all-UK version of our memorial is for Amy Gallagher, the 34-year-old mental health nurse from Kent, England, who had the outrageous temerity to challenge the wise and holy teachings of critical race theory during a National Health Service course on forensic psychology as part of her training to become a psychotherapist. During some routine indoctrination by the Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust with the clear and obvious teachings that whites don't understand the world and Christianity is responsible for racism because it's European, Gallagher objected. In fact, during one seminar entitled Whiteness, a Problem for Our Time, and a section explaining that the problem of racism is a problem of whiteness, Gallagher actually said out loud that she believed that being white doesn't make you racist. Can you imagine? Well, naturally, they suspended her from the training and also sought to have her removed from her regular job because she is clearly unsafe to work with the general public. Well, since sinners never repent until suitable methods of persuasion and punishment are used, she not only didn't apologize and comply, she's now suing the trust itself for racial and religious discrimination, as if wokeness itself could be put on trial. Sheesh. As a result, she now claims to be experiencing anxiety and stress from what she calls all the bullying by the wise wokenistas of the trust. But how dare she culturally appropriate our terms of victimhood for herself in such an unrighteous way? This little white girl needs to learn her place and just submit to the men who are teaching her what she needs to hear about her own inherent wickedness and racism. And yes, making it impossible for her to earn a living is a key way of teaching her a lesson and also making her an example of what happens whenever women try to stand up for themselves in the workplace against the truth of our compassionate cause of racial healing and harmony. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Your
Second, the Tors, a pub located in the little village of Belston in Devon for what they've done against the holy cause of wokeness recently. At first, it seemed that Dickie Harrison, the landlord of the Tors, had actually performed a small but wonderful act of right languaging. He rebranded the pub's Plowman's Lunch as the Plowperson's Lunch, a mild nudge in the direction of right-gendering the historically misogynistic English language and deliberately affirming the tens of local farmers identified female at birth. Sadly, this went as you might expect. The notoriously barbaric and repressive village folk took to the interwebs with their patriarchal rage, calling it effing pathetic, rallying for a boycott, and deriding the pub as woke, as if that could ever be anything other than a badge of virtue. Of course, at first, we celebrated all of this, thinking the incident has all the markings of first-stage beatification. Gender neutering, raising awareness of the value of eating food without a face, and, of course, the all-powerful Gold Star Wokeness Bonus Prize for making language awkward by replacing easy-to-say words with overly complicated, cumbersome terminology that clangs right into the tongue and forces people to rethink their words even as they struggle to say them. Nothing ever sounded quite so absurd as Plowperson's Lunch, but that's when it all went sideways. In response to the villager criticisms, Harrison admitted that renaming the traditional bread, cheese, fruit, and vegetable dish along gender-inclusive lines had actually been meant as a joke, a lighthearted gesture, what he called a bit of fun. Oh, dear Utherin. No and no indeed. Reshaping thought by selective manipulation of language is no laughing matter. Stealing language from the oppressors is one of the 7.5 holy sacraments. And for him to have done so as some sick kind of joke, implying that our movement is a fit subject for satire or ridicule or overly long radio segments, is horrific. The one thing we must never do is to allow people to have fun at the expense of our most sincerely memorized doctrines. So for the felony of bringing disrepute upon the holy virtue signal in the second degree, we cast thee out, Dickie Harrison, and you can take your blackberry compote and jovially misgendered slices of brie with you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our heartiest praise for the British Colony Council of Herefordshire for bravely choosing to add historical context to their painted portrait of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. In 2021, the council ordered an internal audit of their properties in order to make sure they were certified woke pliant according to standard VSEM 14, the most current internationally recognized virtue signal evaluation matrix, the morality equivalent of an ISO rating. In this case, they discovered some very uncomfortable truths about Churchill, including his lack of sympathy for black Americans subjugated by whites, his indifference to starvation of Indians under his rule, and his willingness to use chemical gas to suppress what he called the uncivilized tribes of Kurds and Afghans in 1919. Clearly, the man was a colonialist, an imperialist, and a racist. Now, yes, it is true he saved his nation from Germany in World War II through shrewd statesmanship, rhetorical prowess, and keen military strategy to the point that one may easily imagine a Third Reich the size of the entire globe had it not been for his leadership against the Nazis. But none of that matters to the wise thought Sherpas of Herefordshire, who want suitable context for his connections to racism, slavery, and colonialism listed beneath the famous picture of him with the fingers raised in the iconic V for Victory. But of course, this too is a lie, since we all learned from His Eminence the Archbishop of Wiltshire, Sting, who taught us there's no such thing as a winnable war. It's a lie we don't believe anymore. What we especially love about this decision is the way it seeks to tear down and belittle a white man seen as a hero by millions of people, reminding them that the only correct way to judge a person in history is by the most newly revealed standards of today. A sobering reminder that all of us will one day turn out to be utter scoundrels, mostly because we don't even know which of our current views future children will be taught to hate us for. So we say yes to the high political ambassadors of the Herefordshire County Council for doing their very best to make it so that nobody has any heroes anymore, especially arrogant, obese old white men who smoke cigars and save the world. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Pandora's Lox, undelectable breakfast snacks made entirely from freegan seafood reclaimed from the dumpsters of and trash bins of only the finest fish markets. While others may hear, partially spoiled, as a warning, we think that just means more pungent smell and more robust flavor. Just like her namesake, at Pandora's Lox, the only thing that remains inside the sandwich is despair, and boy, you can really taste it.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
Nothing like a good, solid Greek mythology joke for the audience. 828 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. Let's see. Right now, we're still dealing with that the backup right now on I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile all the way through to Highway 29 and even a little past that. Seeing some delays there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get a good real estate agent, somebody who's going to show that they can get you all the way through to the end, that is getting the contract and the closing all done, because you know, sometimes you run into problems, hurdles, challenges, unexpected things, and that's where experience matters, right? That's where having done it a bunch, where that muscle memory comes into play. And look, if somebody sells 5 homes a year, that's great. But how many challenges have they had to overcome? Somebody who sells 175 homes in a year, like Christina Leavenworth, you know, they kind of know what they're doing. And one of the things that I think of the value of a real estate agent is they can tell you what's normal. They can help you know whether something is weird or not weird, common, you know, old practice, new practice. Like, I think about replacing roofs, replacing air conditioners, replacing water heaters, stuff that you would have never thought about 5 or 10 years ago, and now is almost a norm to demand that as a buyer because of the insurance. You know, insurance is going to ask these questions, and knowing what's fair, what to ask for, what to deny, all of that, that's stuff that a good real estate agent can counsel you on. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Almost 4 million customers without power today after Tropical Storm Helene last night. Florida, Georgia, South Carolina all have over 1 million each without power at last check. Outages also reported in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Virginia. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addresses the UN General Assembly today. His speech had originally been scheduled for Monday, but was delayed after Israel launched airstrikes on Lebanon. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams is expected to plead not guilty in court today during his arraignment on federal corruption charges. He's been hit with a 57-page indictment claiming he accepted lavish gifts and trips from Turkish officials.
Come on. He says he didn't do it. He obviously didn't do it. Good enough for me.
Of course.
All right, David, thanks for the update. Now, Tropical Storm Helene, 60 miles an hour as it approaches the Tennessee border, the eye just getting ready to leave the corner there with North Carolina and Georgia. 60-mile-an-hour tropical storm going into Tennessee. Ugh.
I'm Therese Crowley. Tropical Storm Helene rampaging through Georgia after blasting Florida's Big Bend as a Cat 4 storm. Governor DeSantis reports storm surge higher than Idalia. Powers out for millions through the Carolinas with flash floods in this high water rescue in Atlanta.
This lady drove into the area that's flooded out and she's screaming right now. I just called 911. Fire department is coming in, but she drove right into the floodwaters. This is the Peachtree Creek and it is rising at the moment. We've got this thing crested at about 23 feet.
Fox Weather's Bob Van Dillon, at least 3 dead. Former President Trump meets Ukraine President Zelensky at Trump Tower today. Candidate Kamala Harris says Trump's plan to end the war is surrender. Trump says it's saving lives.
It's a shame what's happening in Ukraine. So many deaths, so much destruction.
As Harris visits the Arizona border for the first time, America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees in Pensacola. Escambia County's got people on the road right now. They're heading to help out after last night's Hurricane Helene landfall in the Big Bend.
Originally requested to go to Liberty County prior to landfall. And we were working with the sheriff's office. We were sending a contingency of county EM staff and the sheriff's office. We was going as a joint group. And Liberty County woke up this morning, looked around and said, guess what? We're good. We don't need anything. So we had to readjust fire, which is no problem. That's what we do in a disaster. And Madison County said, we need help. We need help now. And so we have collectively got back together with the sheriff's office, missioned up together.
Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore, he says a contingent of 8 emergency management employees from both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, as well as 20 deputies from the Escambia Sheriff's Office are en route now. They're taking heavy equipment as well to help clear debris and get the roads reopened so emergency supplies can get into the area. Pensacola police say they'll be working with the local homeless population as new state laws and a potential city of Pensacola ordinance that could ban camping in public and on private and commercial properties could go into effect by next year.
Community response specialists. We have four officers that work downtown on top of that that go and talk to these people on a daily basis and try to find out what the core of the problem is and look for long-term solutions. So since that program has been in effect, we've had we've helped a lot of people. Some of them even have left town and reconnected with their families because of the work that community response specialists are doing.
And that's PPD spokesman Mike Wood. He says one of the big problems is sometimes people don't want help for various reasons. He says sometimes that's because they don't want to go to shelters where they'd have to follow certain rules. A state law that bans public camping goes into effect next month. Pensacola working on an ordinance that would ban camping on commercial and private commercial properties and private residences without permission. Well, Helene, now with the distinction of being the strongest hurricane in history to hit the Big Bend, State Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis says they had to be extra prepared because of the uncertainty of the storm.
We brought about twice the number of personnel in place of urban search and rescue teams because of the size of this storm.
And in the most recent update, the storm was downgraded to a tropical storm after its landfall last night as a Cat 4 storm. The Big Bend getting a helping hand from volunteers all across the state. Now the Salvation Army sending teams from Orlando and other surrounding cities to Tallahassee to help with cleanup and recovery. Volunteers may be deploying to other parts of the state as well. A Salvation Army official says they'll be providing meals, clothing, financial assistance, and also helping with spiritual care. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic.
That's right. Brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special. That's why they double all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Still seeing the backup that's happening on I-10 eastbound. At least it's moving, but it's backed up all the way to the 9 Mile Road exit. But at least it's flowing right now. Other than that, seeing some minor delays through Pace as you go through the P Ridge area. Things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a nicer feel out there today. Temperatures near 65 degrees for your morning low. As you head into the rest of the day, we will be around 84 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies with a breeze. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to keep the sunny skies around on Saturday with a high near 85 and a low near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 71 now in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. And your money now. This morning, taking a look at our opening markets. Stocks are up. The Dow's up 150 points at 42,325. S&P up 8 points at 57,53. NASDAQ up 17 points at 18,210 this morning. 10-year bond rate down just a bit at 3.76%. Gold price is down $6.50 at $2,688.50. Silver price is up a dime, though, at $32.45 this morning. And Bitcoin up almost $500 at $65,528. Workers at ports from Maine to Texas could go on strike. It would be, what they're saying, the most disruptive walkout to the U.S. economy in decades. This could stop the flow of fruit, household goods, clothing, toys, cars, and just about anything else. The International Longshoremen's Association says they'll walk out in just a matter of days unless there's a new contract agreed on. Negotiations set to resume today in the strike against Boeing by machinists. Members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers walked off the job 2 weeks ago. They rejected a deal that union leaders thought they'd approve. Boeing made another offer this week that included raises of 30% over 4 years. It is 8:37. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It means we've got a couple of friends here in studio with me to talk about the events of the week. In this case, we've got repeat offenders, John Peacock, who's been here many times as guest, and also JC Cosentino. Did I get it right? Oh, what? There we go. One more time.
You nailed it.
All right. Yeah. I learned your mnemonic of cosine.
Yes. And it's amazing you said that. And I think you also followed that with, if I meet someone who doesn't know what I'm mentioning,
yeah,
run the other way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, I think, you know, a lot of times women have to figure out pretty quickly how to sort between the good and the bad applicants, right? And so if a guy comes up to you and says, you know, hey, can I buy you a drink? Okay, fine. You know, what's your name? Jace Cosentino, you know, like cosine. And you know, it's like what? You're like, oh, thanks for the drink.
Yeah, see you later.
I'm out of here.
You know, we're good. It's a good quick test. So obviously the storm's on everybody's mind. You even last night sent me the picture, John, of the SUV with the tree that had fallen an inch from the back bumper, and the tree said Helene, and the SUV said Pensacola Lake.
Yeah, how fortunate are we? Certainly thoughts and prayers of those folks on the other side of Florida, but man, we were so lucky.
Yeah, and even I think the folks in Tallahassee have got to be breathing a sigh of relief that it went east of them, because you know it was coming right at them.
If it had hit anywhere, that cleaning that place out might not have been a bad idea, right? It would just take some of the people, but I just kidding.
Well, they're elsewhere right now. They're not in session.
That's
what you're saying? Okay.
That's true.
Not our folks, though, who are great. Anyway, so, no, I do have great relationships
with
all of our local legislators. But, yeah, Big Bend area is just not built for this. They don't get these kind of storms until, I mean, like, I think there had never been one until the last couple of years, and all of a sudden it seems like two, three, and it's bad, right?
Right, and, you know, in addition to that, the storm surge, unprecedented. Oh. In Tampa, Fort Myers, Lee County area, oh, my gosh.
You guys were watching the video on the screen of the Tampa Bridge. And JC, I loved your comment. He's like, why didn't they close that bridge? Because you know idiots will drive on it.
They
you
will.
Know, there's a foot of water lapping up over the top of the bridge, and people will still go on the bridge.
Like, well, I was watching clips this morning of people swimming in the ocean or swimming in the Gulf still, and then also walking on the sidewalks and streets, leaning sideways. It's like, why are you out walking around? I don't understand this.
You don't believe that people die.
Yeah, you can't fix stupid.
It'll fix itself sometimes,
yeah,
I suppose.
Like, call the population.
There's a lot of stuff in the county. I know that's your favorite topic to talk about.
I love it.
Let's start with the OLF 8 stuff, because we haven't really covered this yet in the show. I've just had too much other stuff going on. But big conversation about another offer, a couple of offers. You know, all of this is behind the veil of ignorance where we don't know who these companies are and, you know, the non-disclosure agreements. I'm not bothered by the NDAs because I understand why they exist. But I also understand the concern that you're going to spring something on us and it's going to be so far along that we can't really say no at that point. People are scared. They're scared we're going to get an Amazon warehouse out there and they don't want that. That's not what they bargained for, right?
Yeah, that's a lack of trust, right? I mean, and that's
absolutely
part of the reason why we had some changes here in August, which were good. The people out there in Beulah have been lied to so many times. You know, they all worked really hard to come up with a master plan, including mm-hmm. JC, that's in our backyard. And that's what everybody thought they needed, right? That area should be like the downtown of Beulah, right? That's
Without
what people want. If you look at Quint's book and building the vibrant community, people want a sense of place. Sense of places aren't Amazon warehouses. Not saying there's not a need for that, but not in that location, right? There's plenty of other areas that could happen. And unfortunately, we, our elected officials locally, get beholden to people that build those kind of places and you know, this industrial kind of warehouses, and they get paid a lot of money to do that. So I think at some time we have to elect people that are going to listen to the folks out there and do the right thing. And so far we haven't had that. And that's why we had some changes in August. Thank goodness.
And even, you know, like I know D.R. Horton had been a bidder. And, you know, no offense to D.R. Horton, they built a lot of homes. But you can take an opportunity like OLF 8 and just turn it into another subdivision. And what a missed opportunity. Right, JC?
Absolutely. I think last time I was on here, I told you OLF 8 is actually my backyard.
Oh, all right.
I walk out of the back of my house. I have two pastures with horses.
Oh, so you're on the Frank Ruta Road side. You're
yes.
on the north
well,
side.
Well, I'm on Beulah Road side.
Oh, okay,
so
gotcha.
There's just a couple of us that butt up to the back
the west side
of it. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because some days I see people just riding their horses through OLF 8, and I'm like, oh, great, it's going to be an equestrian center. but no, it's expanded so much. It's grown so much out there. Navy Federal just keeps bringing more people. We don't need more homes. We need a community center. And I understand, I think everybody out there is pretty cool with it being mixed use space. Mm-hmm. But I think now that we have someone else who has a voice for hopefully a better voice for us, we'll be able to move closer in that direction to what people want out there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Steve Stroberger wins this election. That's
hands
a
down.
Dramatic change, 4%, I think.
Yeah, when he had four candidates,
yeah, right?
Right. A couple of which were kind of phony, and that's right. The shenanigans. So I was so thrilled and so proud of the people in District 1 to kind of see through all that. And kind of like the person that's going to represent them.
I was actually, I mean, not to dwell, but I was a little surprised. I thought that the no votes would highly come from Perdido Key and Inner Rarity, where they would be like, they didn't want the acquisition, they didn't want him kind of acquiring that for District 1, gerrymandering, I called it. But it turned out that the heaviest of the no votes were from just west of where you live. Those precincts were the heftiest no votes. Of course, with either Ashley, most likely, or Ed Helms, possibly, somebody different in District 4. I hear that Stephen Barry is very, on the ropes, and, a lot of people are projecting him to lose against a no-party affiliate candidate.
From your mouth to God's ears, right there.
Completely different board come December.
Well,
and so a lot of these decisions, what the people have been asking for is, just don't do anything yet.
Yeah.
Let the new board make decisions. I assume you agree with that.
Absolutely. This is a generational opportunity. We're not going to see this opportunity again in Escambia County to have this kind of property in this kind of area that's growing, to do the things that everybody works so hard for. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a nickel in. I'm downtown, right? But this is a change of the area that could really have generational impacts and economic development and just sense of places and bring other companies here because there's a sense of place. So many people can work remotely. People want sense of place, right? That's why downtown's been so popular. People move downtown. They go downtown because there's this vibrant area. And that opportunity also exists in Beulah with OLF 8. And fortunately, we made a change, and hopefully they won't vote on that before the new board gets in.
I think of OLF 8, and maybe I'm naive to think about it this way, but I think of it as jobs, of course, and homes, of course, and downtown Disney. Yeah. That's my picture of, if we really did this
absolutely
right, it would be an incredible source of revenue and entertainment and activity and walkability and as an alternative to downtown Pensacola. I mean, I'd never thought about it till just now, but you want to sell people on the Beulah Town Square concept.
Absolutely.
Mention to them that, what will that do to alleviate parking downtown?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Seriously, that's a good thing. You live right there, JC. Your thoughts about, I don't know.
I have some great examples. One is Navy Federal built that, you call
the
it
park.
Community, the park right there. And I have a Great Dane, and I have taken him there on the weekends to walk him around. And it's packed. People are there using that space, and these are not Navy Federal employees. They're people in the community. And then you can also just go to 9 Mile Crossing, which is Publix and several of the other businesses there. You almost can't find parking on the weekends. And that's just a Publix area with a couple of shops. People need it. We want it. It can be supported. You see neighborhoods literally being thrown up almost daily, it seems like, out there. So I think we're past the point of need. It's like we just now have to find something that people can somewhat agree on.
And some of the amenities that are in some of the newer apartment complexes and townhomes and condos clearly show a demand for a higher quality of amenities and resources and activities. And, the money and the people are there. If you can just, build it, they'll come, or get the right person to build it, will come, instead of putting, boxes of semis.
And we've had great, great proposals. Fred Hammer delivered a great proposal.
Can I pause you on that? Because I want to talk about that. This to me is a very mysterious thing, but I want to talk about that. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Right now, we're only seeing a backup on I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way through Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic's flowing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to John Peacock and JC Cosentino talking about the Fred Hemmer. He's been working with them for, over a year now?
Well over
a long time. He's made concessions. They've negotiated. And it looks to me like the Stephen Barry, Jeff Bergosh foot drag I don't want to believe it's because he supported Doug Underhill, but I know that's how they operate.
Vindictiveness.
Yeah. He's the perfect, in my opinion,
he's a perfect
He seemed like the perfect person to be developing this. We'll do it the way that will fit both the job growth and the community needs. Why hasn't this happened yet?
Yeah, well, there's other interest, obviously. You know, what people fail to realize sometimes is capital is mobile. Look at Quint Studer.
Yeah.
We continue to kick him in the shins for years, and he's doing a ton of economic development in Wisconsin because we turned down so many opportunities here that he wanted. And eventually, Fred will get tired, unfortunately.
I'm amazed he's lasted this long.
I love Fred, but I keep telling me,
right. I mean, but then again, there is light because maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, we have a different board and maybe they'll stop dragging feet and make the right thing happen or what seems like to me the right thing.
We have a better chance to.
Yeah.
Now with a new board. Yes.
Okay. So you're reading it the way I'm reading it. Yeah, I'm always checking.
A similar issue exists out there at the Ashton Brosnahan thing, this $90 million project.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit because nobody is opposed to the Bay Center stuff.
Right.
The $30 to $40 million. Okay. Duh.
And maybe we can use, you know, instead of making it look like a prison, because with a chain link fence around it, maybe we can do something to make it aesthetically pleasing, because right now it looks like a prison.
Can I totally sidetrack this conversation,
sure.
though, for something
Definitely.
That I have not managed to get on the air yet? But you remember when the new jail was built,
right.
and that intersection and the strip mall and the Homestead Village, is that the name of the place? Homestead Village, it was there, and then they relocated to Gulf Power, and then they went out of business now. That was all moved because we were right away. We were going to build some stuff. We were going to develop that corner. We're going to make it into something. It's going to be that has been sitting vacant for 7 years.
Right.
Yes.
And it's a wasteland behind chain link fence now.
Right.
What in the world? Like, do it.
No,
am I
leadership.
Wrong?
Lack of leadership.
Right? Yeah. It's snail pace here.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
to
you
me.
Go to other cities and you can go, you know, 6 months apart and you're like, wow, look at what they did in half a year.
I mean, they built a CEFCO kitty corner in 2 months or whatever, and I mean, I know that the area is maybe not the most thriving, but get something going on. At least get it ready for development, which it's not right now. I don't know. Okay, off track. Sorry. Talking about the Bay Center, but then the Ashton Brosnahan proposal
I think that if you look at that location, right, obviously there's some vested interest there. Is there any reason why it's being discussed there? But it makes no sense. What's paying for that is TDC money. TDC money comes from hoteliers. Right, so if you think about it, putting it out there gives people the opportunity to stay in Santa Rosa County and Baldwin County because it might be more convenient to get to that place. That doesn't help us at all, right? We need to support the folks that are generating. I mean,
you're saying because it's off 10 Mile
right.
that it's going to be easier for people to book a hotel in Baldwin County and drive across
County.
10 and go up 29.
Right.
Than it is to stay on the beach. There's no guarantee they're going to stay at
downtown,
the beach.
Or downtown, or wherever. Some place that's generating bed tax in Escambia County, that's what's paying for it, right? At the end of the day, that's going to continue to pay for our amenities, right? The TDC money was there to kind of help promote our area, which has done a great job through Visit Pensacola, but also create things like this, right? But we need to put it in the spot that was going to generate more and more and more hotel revenue. And it's not about supporting the hoteliers. It's about supporting the revenue that's going to pay for this.
And of course, the hoteliers, at least my read, is that they were against, you know, Jim Reeves was against it as the RV guy, and you know, Tesh Patel was against it.
It's not against the project, it's against the location.
Location. Right, exactly. And we've talked about that a couple of times. JC, do you want to see, I don't know, do you want to see an athletic facility, which by the way, will not do soccer, right? Because a good point was made the other day. Soccer is an outdoor sport. This is not going to do soccer.
Right.
This is going to be volleyball and basketball. And
that's interesting. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, right. Because you think, well, it's at Ashton Brosnahan. It'll obviously do soccer. No, it's not going to do soccer. It's not built for that. Unless they're starting to do indoor soccer on hardwood, which I hadn't heard of that.
Plenty of other locations, but we need the right board to vote on it at the right time. Again, the fact that it's kind of offset the TDC and it comes, it's just the whole way that it happens.
And that's not in front of the commission yet, but I really hope it doesn't because there's so much change going on. These decisions should really wait. I mean, they're empowered to make decisions they need to make. No problem, okay? The board that exists is the board with the power. But the idea that they might make a 30-year decision as lame duck without a commissioner on one seat at all is crazy.
I just feel the location could be much better than off 10 Mile. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that area. My son played soccer at Ashton Brosnahan, but when you're limiting it to just the indoor sports and facilities and just that location, I mean, it's busy
right
around there, but there's much better locations.
And the infrastructure is not there to support that.
It's not. It's hard to get there.
It's hard to get there. Small streets. Mm-hmm. The hotels and restaurants don't exist. It's like you're trying to build a little, you know, complex where there's nowhere to do it and there's not any of the support stuff. You know, we don't typically think of restaurants and hotels as the infrastructure, but yet again, an example of Escambia County considering something that has terrible infrastructure. So, yeah. Now, I will say this. I was talking to Jeremy Evans, who I had in last week, and we didn't get this on the air, and it's my fault for not asking the question. He made the point that, to me off the air, he said, you know what, though? We have been trying for so long to do something, and we keep doing the great nothing. We keep doing the absolutely nothing. This may not be the best. It may not be the ideal location particularly, but what are we going to do? Are we going to do the Tech Park and, you know, OLF 8 and the Community Maritime Park all over again and just still be gnashing our teeth about this in 10 years and have nothing to show for it? That's a reasonable concern. I mean, the community has shown a great capacity for nothing.
Right.
Here's what I see. Here's what I see with that, though. So let's just pretend they build it. The money goes there.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to look at, like John was saying, the infrastructure around it. Then you're like, okay, wait a minute. We don't even have the roads to support people getting there. There are houses in the way. We're going to have to widen the roads. And then you have 2-3 more year delays and even be able to properly use the facilities. So that's what I see. Because we have a tendency to do things that way here.
What? We either wait too long and do nothing,
yes.
or we go too quickly and do the wrong
Ready,
thing.
Yes.
Fire, aim.
We'd love to
All
find that sweet spot right in the middle of those
exactly.
things. Other things that are going on. I don't know how excited to get about this, but of course I love Tim Kinsel. I love Lucky. He's just great. This is, it's sort of like the obvious amazing choice when DC hired him, you know, to come work as a city manager to replace Kareth. It's just exciting. It is, because he brings experience, capacity, knowledge. You know, he's kind of the elder guide rail for DC, in my opinion, and he'll handle all of the day-to-day logistical stuff that DC's having to do right now a lot of, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Andrew, and it shows really the distinct difference between the city form of government and the county form of government. I can't imagine Tim, as great as he is, deciding he wanted to be the county administrator trying to deal with five different voices, right?
I wouldn't wish that on my enemy, and he's
right,
a friend.
Because he can't lead, right?
Yeah.
Now, in a position where you have a strong mayor, those people that rise to that level want to lead, and they have the opportunity to lead. People don't want to be one of five. Leaders don't want to be one of five, right? They want an opportunity to, I always joke, kind of screw it up their way, right? They have vision. They want to implement that vision, and Tim Kinsella is an amazing individual, did an incredible job at the base, did an incredible job at UWF Leadership Development Organization. He'll do an incredible job for the city, and he'll help kind of, he brings a level of experience and maturity that DC is not a knock on DC, but he doesn't have.
Right.
He's a younger individual, and he's doing a great job as mayor, but there's an incredible compliment there, so real kudos to DC for hiring Tim.
Yeah. And it does save Tim from ever getting asked to do the county administrator job.
Yeah.
Which, again,
there's not enough alcohol to even drink to take that job, I can promise you.
It's 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just still seeing the backup on I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way through the Highway 29 construction zone, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I don't remember when the I-10 bridge replacement became an issue. I want to say it was about 6 years ago, roughly, is what I have in my head. And as soon as it came up and the prospect of turning it into a toll bridge, and I have been screaming about this every time I get a chance since, and we thought we had beaten it for a while, and I've been working with some of the folks in Alabama and, you know, talking about it a bunch, but it's kind of fallen a little bit by the awareness wayside for people in Escambia County. John's been a producer for the show for 6 months, and he'd never even heard that was the case, that they're going to, and now the news is not just that they're going to replace I-10 with a toll bridge, 6 lanes instead of, you know, 4 lanes, higher up, safer from storms, it's going to be better, but it's going to be a $2 billion project. 250 each way is what they're saying. I think that's optimistic that they're going to be able to keep it that low. The new news is they're going to actually tear down the functioning existing 4-lane bayway, not because it's bad, not because you can't drive on it, but in order to prevent people using the free road and not supplying the tolls to the new expensive toll road. So government is literally going to destroy a good functioning thing to force people to pay money for the new thing that they can't afford. Oh my God. My brain just hurts. Plus, I think a lot of people in Escambia have no idea this is coming. I think most people in Escambia have no idea this is coming, that they're planning to put a toll on I-10.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of user fees, Andrew, and I think that if that bridge is being made better, so that, I mean, if we had another hurricane, if that hurricane would have hit, who knows what would have happened to that bridge, right?
Right.
I mean, we had our Bay Bridge got destroyed in Hurricane Ivan, right? So to build a better bridge, even though this one's kind of okay,
right,
might not be a horrible idea, and what better way to pay that than through user fees, right? People that use that every day.
If you want to keep I-10 and build a new bridge and have it be the pay for it if you want to drive on it,
exactly.
Great. Just like they do down south, you know, that's fine. As an people want to pay extra, $10. They want to pay $10 to skip the traffic in the morning. Great, wonderful, fantastic. Just don't force us all to do it. Don't force us all into your government benefit at a price.
Well, also, I look at it as a growing population to have the extra access just in case. I mean, that should definitely not be torn down. I agree. I'm fine with having the option for someone to pay tolls. I lived in California for almost 15 years, and you could pay a little extra, hop on the 73 or whatever it is if you wanted to avoid it. But
look at you sounding like a Californian. You're the 73. That's right, though.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's true. They should definitely not tear it down because we're going to need it as population grows and in case something happens.
Right.
So we have another access.
I mean, if the thing is crumbling, that's one thing. But if it's being done deliberately to force participation in this new government benefit, good Lord.
Here's a great example. So going into Mobile before the tunnel.
Yeah.
That bridge, and then what is the old one that's off to the
up to the north?
North,
yeah.
There, I mean, there have been times because of accidents,
right?
I've had to go that way.
Multiple ways to solve the traffic problem in case there's a problem. Absolutely. Well, we're totally out of time. It always goes so fast. John Peacock, Jason Cosentino from Edward Jones Peacock Wealth Management. Thank you both for coming in this morning and for participating and offering so much perspective. I appreciate it. And keep me honest. You know, you can always text me, right?
Yeah, we love it. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great weekend. Go Argos and be praying for the folks to our east in Georgia and Tennessee and Florida.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio 92.